This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After, folks. The Saints, a 35-14 winner over the Cleveland Browns. Black and gold now 4-7 on the season. Have won two in a row and have improved their home record to 3-3. We're going to check back at the stadium where the man, Taysom Hill, is at the podium hearing what he has to say.
You do have those stats all the time, though, and actually, Captain just tweeted one from ESPN stats today that was like the first since Ed Podolak in 1971. What is the kind of the wildest name you've ever seen on one of those stats that you're the first since?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things. To be honest, I don't really pay a ton of attention to those things. But listen, I know that the guys that played this game before us did a lot for us that are now playing this. So to be talked about with those guys, you know, means a lot to me. And, you know, I love this game, but the reality is the guys that came before us, you know, laid a foundation for us to be playing in stadiums like this on national television and stuff. So I don't want that to come across the wrong way, but because it does mean a lot to me.
And did you think it was possible that you could set career highs in rushing yards and receptions still?
I've always believed in myself, you know. And it was one of those games where, you know, Clint and the way the coverage was working out, you know, just created opportunities for me. And, you know, I know Riz talked about it, but I thought Derek played a really efficient game. And the ball was going where it needed to go, and it was coming out on time. And we're really hard to defend when we're doing that. And man, he made a lot of really pivotal plays, you know, third down, third and long, and he's making plays to move the chains. And you know, that's a big deal.
Jason, Derek was joking during the week that he fed you at dinner about the opening touchdown in the last game. So are you gonna? Did you win the bet this week?
No, I didn't win a bet. He kind of always has a standing thing, you know, like if you take a screen for a touchdown or something, he'll give you something, give you dinner, whatever. But mine got called back, you know, so I couldn't accept it. So
$1,000.
Yeah. That's usually what he does. It's usually what he does. But I haven't been able to collect on one of those yet. Maybe in a couple weeks.
How frustrated were you after the fumble?
Yeah, look, I'm disappointed, and you know, I was really disappointed at halftime, you know, and you know, no one is going to be harder about all these things than I am, you know. I certainly expect more of myself in those situations, but look, they made a couple good plays, and you know, so got a lot of great teammates, a lot of great friends in there that, you know, I had conversations with. And And look, I've played this game long enough. I know that, you know, those guys on the other side get paid too. And look, it's one of those things where I had to take a step back and say there's nothing that I can do about it now, right? So let's go do what I can to help us win this game. And fortunately, I continue to get some opportunities.
Darren said at halftime that he told you he was going to keep feeding you the ball. I'm guessing that kind of meant something to you when you weren't feeling great.
Yeah, look, I had a number of conversations. Look, I think, you know, you play in this league long enough, you're gonna have moments like that, you know. So certainly, you know, I've had plays that didn't go my way prior to this game too. But look, I had conversations with Clint, Riz, everyone, and it's, you know, it's always the same message. And look, it's the same message that, you know, I echo to teammates too when something doesn't go our way. So look, I'm aware of all that and grateful that they, you know, obviously continue to give me opportunities.
They obviously did a number of creative things with you, but they also had the fourth and one, and then that, like, last drive toward the end where it looked like you were just going to play quarterback for all four plays if needed. It only ended up being two. But how much do you like that? I mean, we're not hiding what we're doing, you know?
And yeah.
It's, you know, power versus power, I guess, and that's a specialty of yours.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, we gained some numbers that way, you know, and that's obviously never been a secret, and we've done these things in the past, and it's been successful. So certainly in a 4-minute situation, it's one of those things that's been advantageous for us. And you know, Clint called, you know, a great game, and he created a lot of unique opportunities for me to make plays. And I think as you start to look at what we're doing offensively, the more things we do that way, the harder it is for us to be defended. And so I think, you know, when you're running the ball well and, you know, your head, it creates more opportunities that way. But, you know, hopefully something that we can continue to build on.
You take us just the second touchdown, fourth down. You take us to that play.
Let's see. Yeah. Look, it was one of those, obviously, it was fourth and short. Was it fourth and short or was it third down?
Yeah.
Was it fourth and short? Wow. They came out of center field. You know, I knew it was an aggressive run, stop, look, and I've seen this before, right? But when they sell it to stop the run, there's no one back there. So if you get past that first level of defense, you know, you're kind of home free. So, man, they did a great job. It was one of these plays where we had a number of double teams up front, and those guys created a big hole, big lane for me, and got me out in space. And you know, the rest is what it was.
You've been busy a long time.
Yeah.
What is it about him that players seem to respond to so well?
You know, I think Riz has done a really nice job of, you know, communicating with a lot of guys in the locker room. You know, so we've had a lot of meetings with him. We've had private meetings, you know, whatever. And I think he has a really good pulse on what we need collectively as a team, you know, to get ready for a football game, you know. And I think guys have responded to that and, you know, really respected and, you know, his ability to come in and have conversation, but then take feedback and make some changes. And you know, as I mentioned, guys have responded really positively.
Jason, in terms of like usage, the amount of time you're touching the ball on the field, is this kind of what you were anticipating? You have to find this balance.
Yeah, I mean, now it was. It's look, it's a hard thing when you want to be out there with your team, you know, and you go through OTAs, you go through training camp, and man, we had a tough training camp, you know, and you're out there grinding with all your buddies, and then you get to the season, and we're all excited, and you have to stay on the sideline. You know, that's a hard thing to balance, you know, mentally, emotionally, and so forth. So I understand trying to find a balance of making sure that you're available and all of that, but you know, we also need to make sure we're doing everything we can to win football games. And so I don't know what that's going to continue to look like, but you know, I'm certainly enjoying the more opportunities I get, you know.
What did you think of Derek's jet motion?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I mentioned that. Look, that was one of the things I talked about to the team. When you start to, you know, when you rush the ball for as many yards as we did, these things are just a collective effort, right? You can't do this by yourself. And, you know, Derek is one of those guys that has always been incredibly supportive, you know, and the dude just wants to win, you know, so whatever it takes. And, you know, we've had some giggles about some of his jet sweep motions, and hey, I'm always available, you know, and stuff like that. So he's been great.
Coach Rizzi said it feels like the team's getting its swag back. I mean, could you feel that?
For sure.
Right,
yeah. Look, I think it's like as you watched that game, I think you saw a team that just continued to get more and more confident, you know, and that was something, you know, it's no secret. We've struggled finishing games. And I felt, as I think back, you know, throughout the course of that game, we just start playing with more and more confidence. And the expectation is we continue to build on that.
Jason, I don't want to, like, message or whatever, but, like, heard it the last couple of weeks, the importance placed on finishing.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks in a row, you guys found a way to finish and close out games. Like, is there anything to message in that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I certainly don't think anything's going to change if you don't talk about it, you know, and that's something that we've struggled with this year. So at some point you have to look in the mirror and say, hey, we need to be better. And what do we need to be better at? You know, because at the end of the day, yeah, it matters what you do in the first half. But we've been around this league long enough that knows that these games are won and lost in the second half, third and fourth quarter, and we need to do a better job. And I felt like as you – we got into that game, you know, we just knew that, man, we were going to do what was necessary to win that one.
Hey, Taysom, you talked about the previous players and time sort of paving the way for what you guys are doing now. How important is it, or how does it feel knowing that now, at this moment, you're doing that for future players?
Yeah, I think that's important, you know. I'm a father of two little boys, and, you know, I look at what's the growth of our league through, you know, my last 8 years here, and you know, that means a lot to me as well, to be able to continue to add to something that, you know, certainly a lot bigger than myself, you know. And football has been my life, you know, as I look back to my time in, you know, little league and now college, and, you know, now I get to play football and take care of my family while I do this, you know. So this stuff, it's been my life. And so to be able to add to that means a lot to me.
That was Taysom Hill after the Black and Gold's 35-14 victory. Quite a day for Taysom, 138 yards rushing with 3 touchdowns. Also had 50 yards receiving, 42 yards in the kick return, and also 18 yards passing. We're going to pause 10 seconds now and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. We're going to head to break and know you've been waiting to hear the Cajun Cannons take. We'll get that and more right after this on the New Orleans Saints radio network, Ciroc Point After. We're back here on the Ciroc Point After. Time to get the Cajun Cannons' thoughts of a 35-14 Saints victory. Bobby, Black and Gold now won 2 straight and 4-7 on the season. Still got a lot of work to do, but man, oh man, needed this for sure going into the bye week.
Well, it's like Deuce said, we've won 2 games in a row before. We started out 2-0. Think how everybody was ecstatic with that 2-0 start. So you got to be a pro. You have a bye. You get to get a few people healthy, hopefully. And then it's going to be a different challenge, come Rams, but you got them at home, and, you know, keep the fans engaged from the get-go. I think that's going to be critical going forward. But, you know, anytime you win a game by 21 points in the NFL, I don't care if you were playing the Jaguars today. You know, whoever you might perceive as a weak team in the NFL, and Cleveland is one of those teams, they only had 2 wins coming into the game. And anytime you win by 21 points. That's impressive. I thought it was very entertaining. It wasn't 3 yards in a cloud of dust. A lot of explosive chunk plays. For you and against you. Well, the one against was when Jameis Winston hit Jerry Jeudy for 89 yards. But look at the chunk plays. Taysom Hill plus 75 yards. Scantling again plus 71 yards. So you look at the chunk explosive plays. And I'd said this in the pregame, and, you know, the Saints have struggled against the Browns. If you look, now we've played them 20 times in Saints history, and when we've beaten the Browns, it ain't been no whooping. Well, today was a whooping, like I said, when you went by 21 points. And I said that in the pregame, you know, the Black and Gold never beaten the Browns by more than 7 points. And we did that twice. We did it, remember, the coldest game ever, we won 17-10. Now, Deshaun Watson's playing. Well, last time we played in Cleveland, it was 6 degrees. And then in 1987, when we won 12 games, first time we ever went to the playoffs, we beat them 28-21. But that got shattered, obviously, scoring when you look at 35 points, or I should say that the 7-point victory, but also the 28-21 win in 87. That was the most points the Saints had ever scored against the Browns, was 28. So we end up getting 35 points. So an impressive win by the Saints, to say the least. You look, the Browns now lead the overall series 13-7. And now in the Dome, you think at Art home, you know, even going back to Tulane Stadium, we'd be better at home. But we had a losing record against them. Now we're 4-8. So what have you done for me lately? They beat Cleveland and came away with a big win. Now, what more can you say about Taysom Hill? I mean, I have two or three bootleg shirts, T-shirts by Taysom Hill. I'm definitely wearing one of those to the slipper. You know, Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades. I have it all. So I'm going to be toting that. And Taysom Hill, the bottom line, he's just a football player. I don't understand how maybe the media is too young. That's maybe some older media members there. You know, and Coach Rizzi is referring to Red Grange. Do they know Red Grange is the galloping ghost? Probably not. Red Grange, but that's not he should be compared to. I wish I was that. I'd raise my hand. Not Kathy Lee Gifford, but her husband, Frank Gifford.
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of Frank Gifford, New York Giants? That's who Taysom Hill is. Well, Bobby, what do you mean by that, Frank Gifford? How do you come up with that analogy? I got that written somewhere. Yeah, here it is. You know, whether it's running, throwing, or catching, that you look at Frank Gifford, it doesn't get any better than that. And Steve, I don't know, my notes must have fell down because I had it somewhere here.
I got it right here if you want to read it.
Yeah, go ahead and read it. And this is what Frank Gifford and Taysom Hill has accomplished.
Only two players in NFL history.
Okay, remember that.
You got it, okay.
No. Keep on. No, only two players now.
Two players
in NFL history have done this.
Have 30-plus rushing touchdowns, 10-plus receiving touchdowns, and 10-plus passing touchdowns. That's Frank Gifford and Taysom Hill.
So that's running, throwing, catching, and do it all. And he can, you know, he can block punts. He can, you know, return kickoffs, make tackles.
Right.
You know, Taysom Hill can do it all. He had all-purpose yards, 248. I mean, Taysom Hill was literally, I wonder how that works, Charlie. You probably can have, what that works in fantasy points.
Oh, monster day for sure.
You know, if you have him, how do you add that all up? Because he does so many different things.
Charlie, just let me know in my ear. He's got over 40 points today in fantasy football.
Now, explain to me, is that outrageous?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, you want to talk about Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades, Taysom Hill is that guy. Now, I still think, though, you know, you want to be positive, negative. The one thing compared to the Falcons game is that, you know what? We kicked their ass running the football. And that was one thing we got to get better. You know, I said we got to flip it.
Right.
We weren't stopping the run, but then we weren't running. Well, today, when you look at that.
Your wish was received.
Oh, outstanding. 28 rushing attempts. We averaged 7.6 yard a carry for 214 yards. They ran the ball 20 times, only a 3.3 average. So, that's outstanding.
How many yards did Taysom Hill average on the ground, Bobby?
Taysom Hill averaged right under 20, 19.7.
What?
And you considered outstanding or top running back if you hit 4.4, right at 4.5 yards. Well, Taysom in his career, I want to say he's like 5.5 yards on his career. But, yeah, that's mind-boggling. When you talk about chunk plays, explosive plays, and he's getting in the end zone. Oh, I forgot to mention, he also had three touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And he also did, it was just unbelievable, an outstanding effort. I can tell you this, if we run the ball like this, I don't care if they got Matthew Stafford, we play in the Rams. We run the ball like this and we stop the Rams from running, we winning. You know why? You know, the game shouldn't even have been that close, 35-14. We were -2. And the turnover margin. Now we +2 for the season, -2 for the game. I thought Jameis Winston was outstanding. I thought both quarterbacks were outstanding. Both Jameis Winston and Derek Carr, they were pros. They were pros. You look at Jameis's passer rating was right on, was 106.7. Derek Carr was 129.6. Jameis had right on the 400 yards throwing, 395, two touchdowns, no picks. Derek Carr had 248, but highly efficient, 21-27, two touchdowns and no pick. So you've seen great quarterback play. And like I said, you saw chunk plays. I thought Foster Moreau, him and Juwan Johnson, that combination, they got targeted. If you combine them both, they got targeted seven times. six catches. I thought Juwan Johnson's touchdown, so they combined for 80 yards. Foster Moreau was right under 17-yard average, which was outstanding. And again, Valdez-Scantling, explosive, big chunk play, 71 yards. He goes two catches, 87 yards. No, it was a lot to write home about. And like I said, I thought Jameis Winston hung in there tough. And he kept early on. And when you think about it, what we were going into the fourth quarter, and I'm like, is this going to come down to the wire? Not so fast. It's like 14-14. Now, what was also outstanding was what you're doing on third down. You know, they end up having more first downs than us, 22-19, but they didn't get it done on third down. The Saints' defense was outstanding, holding them to 23%. They were only 3 of 13, and this is outstanding for us. We were 5 of 10, 50%. So, again, that's another area you have to look at. I mean, just sustaining drives and moving the football. There was one time, this discouraged me, when they tied the game. Remember, we had a great punt, and they went 92 yards. Like, I think it was like on eight plays. And that's when Will Harris and Alante Taylor, I think Alante Taylor got to carry the receiver more or shove him more inside or disrupt the route on that deep sideline. That was a 30-yard touchdown to make it 14-14. Well, they went 92 yards with no third downs. So they were first and second down, they end up getting it done on those type drives. Now, if you look at total net yards, like I said, you have to be entertained if you like points or big plays. Cleveland had 443 yards. Obviously, you don't want to give up that much. And we had 473. I thought we still got to get a better pass rush. To me, the pass rush is still too inconsistent. At times, I know Jameis Winston felt very comfortable back there. Now, we did end up with three sacks. But a lot of times, we weren't really, like, hitting them. Not, you can't really hit the quarterback, but I'm talking about making them a little shaky or happy feet, so to speak. That was definitely not the case. And, you know, it was out. When I said, how are we going to finish? I don't know. It's 14-14 going into the fourth quarter. Brian Brzee. Looking at him, he needs to still, when he develops, get better against the run. I think he will, but he can rush the passer. Brian Brzee had a sack and a half, and he now has 5.5 sacks for the season. Looking at Brian Brzee, the last time we had an interior guy, I might be wrong on this, but I think I'm right. Looking at post-Katrina since 2006, I want to see, we had Cedric Ellis. Remember Cedric Ellis in the interior from USC? And then when the season's all said and done, he had six sacks. So I think Brian Brzee is going to break that. And now that's impressive. Brian Brzee, if he has right now, like I said, 5.5 sacks. If he gets to 10 sacks, maybe we can play you more situational. You don't necessarily have to be outstanding against the run if you can be that disruptive. I think DeMario Davis is coming back into form. If you look at, led the team with 13 tackles. He had a couple of pass defended, a tackle for a loss. I thought Ugo Amadi and Alante Taylor, and that's not going to end. You're going to see they're going to have numbers because teams are going after them. They're going to pick on them. Without having Lattimore back there or Paulson Adebo, they're going to challenge Alante Taylor and Ugo Amadi. I think Ugo Amadi a little more consistent in that Falcons game than he was today, but they were like second and third with 9 and 8 tackles. Pete Werner with that club, I know, is sometimes trying to make tackles with one hand, but like DeMario Davis said, no, he's a warrior, and you want him on your side. And Carl Granderson. Carl Granderson's probably, the most, not outspoken, but the most productive defensive end we have right now. He had a sack, a quarterback hurry, 2 tackles for a loss. Brian Brzee had a sack and a half. And he shared one of them with Chase Young. Brian Brzee also had 2 quarterback hurries and a tackle for a loss. And Chase Young had half a sack and a quarterback hurry and a tackle for a loss. You know who's been outstanding on special teams and the coverage units? Because that's one area with Coach Rizzi. Now him being the head coach, we got to always win on that. Whether it's coverage units, kicking units, any phase of special teams, we have to win. You know, you want to win all three phases or two out of three phases. Well, I would expect with Coach Rizzi, the emphasis that we put on that, and Coach Galliano and all the staff now, that we're going to be outstanding. But the one player, we all know about JT Gray, but I think it might have been a couple of weeks ago, maybe you told me this, or that Bill Belichick was doing some breakdowns, like all-pro potential Saints players, like all the NFL teams. He had, as good as he is on special teams, Anthony Orgy had him, like he's playing at like an all-pro level, and that was from, I want to say, Belichick. So we know about JT Gray, but Anthony Orgy, he led the team today with two special teams tackles. And, you know, kind of like, remember Dow we had from Michigan State?
Right.
Or who's the one who was a great team leader from North Texas State? Was it Robinson?
Craig Robertson?
Craig Robinson.
Right, the linebacker.
Yes, and I think Anthony Orgy might even be in a better level than that on the special teams. So you need those type players. It looks like the Anthony Orgy has been that guy that they can count on. Now, it's a big win. Hopefully, you know, you get as many players as you can healthy. You know, looking at Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is going to be a big part of what the combination 1-2 punch with him and Taysom Hill. We got, when you look at Jordan Mims, is kind of the back. Because Kendrick Miller, okay, when is he going to come back? Is that the bye week? Is that going to help him? Maybe so he can help beat maybe that three-headed monster. But overall, just an outstanding win. And I know the Browns only won two games, but that's why they played a game. And we end up coming out on top. And a couple more things before we go to the break. I mean, to show you the game, how it was changing. And we're only winning like, 14-6. And, you know, Taysom, boy, you know, he even talked about it, you know, that kind of lollipop type D ball got intercepted and he got hit pretty hard when he fumbled. But I'm thinking, man, that score should have been 17-6
at least. At least, right.
Or 21-6, but then he fumbles. And I'm like, then look at the last four plays, what had occurred at one time. The Saints went 4th-and-1. You remember, Carr hits Moreau, boy, nice pass, but then it's nullified by holding on Juwan Johnson. And then all of a sudden, so the Saints got a punt. Then Jameis hits an 89-yard touchdown pass. And then after that, then Taysom Hill was intercepted all in four plays, like bang, bang, bang. So, no, it was a lot of back-and-forth roller coaster-type feelings if you were a fan. Now, the one thing, their kick, I don't know, I think if he's flying back on their plane, he might have to take a commercial instead of the private charter and go somewhere else. But as far as him missing those field goals, and I'm going to ask Coach Rizzi that we have on the coaches show, but they called that holding penalty on Peyton Turner. And when I looked at that, and I went, you know, in the NFL booth or something like that, and it looks like he just hit the ground. And they called him, you know, because you're trying to pull the offensive lineman so a rusher can get through. He just fell to the ground right in the center, and they called him for holding. That was a bogus call. So, yeah, the refs are going to miss some. But overall, the referees let him play. They didn't. If you look at it, this is the kind of game I like. They called 8 penalties. Remember I told you, you don't want double digits or hovering around 15. So only 8 penalties were called. Now, I can't come at critical times.
Even better, 5 were on Cleveland.
Yeah. When you look at it, yeah, 5 were on Cleveland. No, the Saints had 5.
Oh, sorry, 5 were on us. Never mind. I take that back.
And the Browns had 3. So I just thought the overall, the roughs went too much into the game. So that's always a good thing.
We are rocking and rolling here on the Ciroc Point after a Saints 35-14 victory. The black and gold back-to-back victories now.
Yeah, and as we go, y'all got to remember this, fans, because you'll never see Taysom Hill. I can't say never, but it might be a long time. You'll never – look how long Frank Gifford. Okay, you're talking about the 60s, early 60s. And then all of a sudden he was doing Monday Night Football. You remember when it got invented, Monday Night Football? And he wasn't playing. So I'm saying, some other Taysom Hill's going to come along. Maybe not. We might all be dead. Remember, only 2 players in NFL history, 30-plus rushing touchdowns, 10-plus receiving touchdowns, 10-plus passing touchdowns.
There can be only 2.
Taysom Hill, Frank Gifford, not the galloping ghost, Red Grange.
Taking a break. Be back with more of the Ciroc Point after, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after the Black and Gold get a 35-14 victory over those Cleveland Browns. And Cajun Cannon, obviously we were worried about that defensive front for the Cleveland coming into this game, but their main man wasn't even a factor, was completely erased from the stat sheet.
Miles Garrett, household name. Miles Garrett's not even on the stat line. He didn't have an assist.
Unbelievable.
Not individual. No assist, no nothing. No quarterback hurries, no tackle for loss or anything. And he was coming off a season-high 3 sacks last game. So, and look, and he's had, in 3 of the 4 road games this season, he's had a tackle for a loss. And against the NFC South, seems like he's always had a sack every time he's playing them, at least 3 out of 4 times. But no stats. Miles Garrett did not even make the stat line. So, I don't know, I'm kind of, not jokingly, but our tackles. I mean, Miles Garrett trying to come off the edge. Look at Trevor Penning. Boy, I tell you what, we gave Trevor Penning such a hard time.
Exactly. Got to give him his flowers, too.
And he had the highest rating against Atlanta, our rival, by Pro Football Focus.
Right.
And he's humble, though. If you notice Trevor, I think Jeff might have interviewed him.
Right.
And how he's focused on the film study, what can I get better? And then I'm sure he's not just going to go kick back. Even though we have a bye, he's going to focus. Okay, coming up with the Rams, who am I blocking? No, kudos go out to Trevor Penning. Because I'm telling you, Miles Garrett, he's in the conversation. If not the best, he's been considered top 3. I don't think he's as good as T.J. Watt or Bosa, but he's in the top 5 for sure, if not top 3. And he didn't have one stat today, Miles Garrett. So kudos go to the Saints offensive scheme, Coach Kubiak, and Derek Carr getting rid of the ball. That all goes hand in hand in the O-line.
Definitely always impressive when you played in the game, but you've been erased from any kind of participation on the stat sheet.
Well, and especially if you like considered amongst the best, if not the best in the conversation. And no, that doesn't bode well to help the Browns have a chance to win. If your best player is not at his best, you know, so good for the Saints.
We're going to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line here on the Ciroc Point After. And Hector in New Orleans, you're up first, man. What you got for us today, Hector, after this win for the Black and Gold?
Hector, are you there? Hector's always there.
We'll check back in with him. We got Hollywood in Thibodeau on the line. Man, Hollywood, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good now that the Saints won 2 games. How y'all fellas doing?
Well, we're doing good, we have the bye, so we can dwell on this a little longer. But you take care of the don't feel advantage and win 3 in a row. And you know what? I said this, Steve. We're in the pregame, and if you look at, because it does matter when you look at strength of schedule. Okay, you might say, we're not beating the Lions or. Whoever, like a Steelers, the Ravens, or we're gonna play the Packers in December on Monday night, so I think we'd have to upset them. But you just play who's in front of you. It's an NFL game. I thought the Browns 2 wins, we can beat the Browns. The Rams, did the Rams end up winning today? I know they were 4-5, so they played. I want to say the Patriots. Did they play the Patriots?
Oh yeah, they beat the Patriots.
So they're 5-5.
So that was 28-22 the final there, Bobby.
Okay, so at 500, now they kind of embarrassed us. That's when Alante Taylor, remember, got benched.
That was a short week. We had to go out to L.A.
Yeah, to go to L.A.
A little Matthew different Stafford. This time, so
yeah,
hopefully.
So, boy, if you come over to win there, Hollywood, you look, man, the Giants going into this weekend, they're 2-8. The Raiders 2-7. you know, Tampa Bay has a losing record. They're all under 500. And then Atlanta, what the Broncos were putting it to them, right? What was the score there? Was it 21-6?
Yeah, it's currently 21-6 at the half, Denver. So go Broncos.
Yeah, so you might say, well, how realistically can we catch up when you look at, I mean, look, we're too far behind. But you never know. Atlanta could fall on their face. They fell on their face in the Super Bowl. You remember what happened? And we all know what happened in the Patriots game. But if you look at it right now, we're three games behind Atlanta in the NFC South. So we won today. And let's say they would lose to the Broncos. They were only two games behind. And, you know, now we have like seven games remaining. So six games on, you can run out of games. But it's not that far-fetched. And, you know, we're not finished NFC South yet. The final game, we played Tampa Bay and Tampa. We've always played there. So if you get a little confident and you go on a winning streak, who knows what can happen. And but I know it's a game of, how could you say, momentum, and whether it's positive or negative. You know, like when you lose five, six, seven games in a row, that can snowball, and it also can snowball in the positive. I've been on teams where you've won like six in a row, seven in a row. The most I've ever won like is nine in a row. And I know how confident you feel about yourself. But then when you start losing like a handful of games, no, that's real challenging. And you got to give Coach Rizzi and the staff and the players a lot of credit by nipping that in the bud and now winning two in a row. What you got, Hollywood?
Hey, Bob, I want to give you a shout, all right? I'm going to tell you congratulations on your 10-year anniversary of the Cajun Cannon.
Oh, the Cajun Cannon restaurant? Yeah, 10 years. Are we celebrating it in December? I think we're having an outing, like a meet and greet.
Right.
But we decided to do it during football season, but it's really been since the spring, since April.
Got some pretty good crab cakes there, Cajun Cannon.
Yeah, how time flies, though. How time flies. Yeah. I don't know. You do anything double digits, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the Saints playing with a lot of energy. It looks like the coach makes a difference. But our defensive line, I think with Peyton Turner and Chase Young, I don't think they're doing a very good job on the end, especially Chase Young. He was kind of late getting on the field.
Well, Peyton Turner played a whole lot better against Atlanta than he did against the Browns. Today, Peyton Turner had one assisted tackle. You know, Chase Young, though, he did better than you think. Now, he had two total tackles. He had a half a sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. But Chase Young, we were expecting him to have double-digit sacks. I don't think that's where he's at. Let me see with Chase Young. Chase Young right now, since he had a half a sack today, he has 3.5. I don't know. You think he's going to reach 10, Hollywood? I don't. You think he will, Steve, Chase Young? He has 3.5. Right now,
we would need him to go on quite a tear like the Saints.
And we'd be all for that.
For sure.
And then that'll help him get paid. You know, what have you done for me lately? But no, Chase Young, Peyton Turner didn't necessarily build upon what he did in that Falcons game. I'll tell you, the lineman that dominated was Carl Granderson with that sack, two quarterback hurries. He led the team with two tackles for a loss. Carl Granderson, that's a good dude. No, but they're all good guys, most of them, you know. Since Hollywood brought that up, you know, the 10-year anniversary Cajun Cannon restaurant.
Yeah.
We were interviewing Carl Granderson, it might have been 2 years ago. And, you know, we always ask the new players and all kind of when they come. And, well, what do you do in your free time? Where do you like to eat? And he goes, and I was doing it with Christian then. We're doing an interview. And he goes, boy, I go a lot. I like that Bobby Hebert's. And he goes, I like that Bobby Hebert restaurant.
You're like, well, I'm Bobby Hebert.
And well, Christian went, no, well, that's Bobby Hebert right here. And he said, and he looked at me like, whoa. He was all like, and then he said, and I go, no, I said, it's Hebert. He goes, you're going to learn if you play in Louisiana long enough. But he goes, yeah, I like that Bobby Hebert's.
Well, the day after a Saints score a touchdown, folks, you can get a large free fry with any purchase in the McDonald's app. So check it out there. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, celebrate life responsibly. The Saints, a 35-14 winner over the Cleveland Browns. Now two games in a row for the Saints, are now 4-7 on the season and heading into the bye week. So a nice little high for this team and get to rest, recover before taking on the L.A. Rams. Looking at the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, it's 504-260-1870. We got Hector back on the line with us from New Orleans. Hector, what you got for us today?
Hey, guys, it was a great win, but I think one of the things that I was most pleased about that I don't think would have happened if Dennis Allen was still coach, as great as Taysom Hill's day turned out to be really, really great, after those two mistakes, I really liked that the coach stuck with him and kept giving him opportunities to keep redeeming himself, which he did. And I thought that was key for us. And also to
and you know what, Hector, hold your point there, because if y'all can recall, and Steve and Charlie, y'all chime in here. And Hector, you might remember at Atlanta, I think last year, and all of a sudden, remember we were in control of the game, and then Taysom got whacked pretty hard and he fumbled.
Oh yeah,
and how that game turned around, and Coach Allen was the coach then, and now I don't know how many opportunities. I just remember that Taysom was getting ready to go score, and that changed the momentum of that game. Well, today, like you said, Coach Rizzi, we're still building you up. We're going to lean upon you. Because that can get to you emotionally, even though you're a pro, the ups and downs and ebb and flow. But that bounce back. You were truly looking, Hector, at a superstar that you just don't see other players do. That, like, you got to go back, Frank. How old you are, Hector? You remember Frank Gifford? With the Giants, are you not that old?
I know Frank Gifford, but from history, but I'm not that old.
Yeah, if you're a Giants fan now, the New York Giants know about Frank Gifford. Going way back, he was like, remember when the Colts and Johnny Unitas and all used to play the Giants? Frank Gifford, he was a big part of that, like a jack of all trades. And then obviously he was on Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell. You remember that Frank Gifford and Danny Don Meredith? The cowgirl quarterback.
Sure.
You know, they turn out the lights, the party's over. Remember, you'd sing that at the end of Monday Night Game. Well, that's the Frank Gifford that Taysom Hill has accomplished. Him and Frank Gifford, only two players in NFL history. And he's truly a superstar. I don't know, Hector, what you think, but I think in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Frank Gifford's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think what Taysom Hill has done, I don't know, make a category. A Swiss Army knife or jack of all trades, all his contributions. If you look at it, even on the special teams where he's run back kickoffs. And look how explosive he was on that kickoff return. What was that? He went 42 yards? A 42-yard kickoff return. Look how explosive he hit that. We've seen him against Tampa Bay. We beat Tampa at Tampa. Remember, that was a few years ago. Remember when he blocked the punt? That changed the momentum in that game to help us win. No, Taysom Hill was truly a superstar, Hector.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that I think kind of also changed the momentum of the game, don't want to leave this young man out. I think since Rashid Shaheed went out with an injury, they had this guy, number 17, Dante Pettis, I think his name is. I thought he played or he's been playing.
Oh, we got to mention that. He just got here. Hector, unbelievable. That's a great call. He just barely was out of bounds. He still had a long gain on that punt return of 53 yards. That's another one. Two guys that won in OTAs, one in minicamp, when you have the last roster cuts, wasn't even on the team in September, and all of a sudden, just look at Scantling. Look at Valdez Scantling and what he's done the last two games, and like you said, Dante Pettis. And the punt returns. That's a good call. Thank you, Hector, for bringing that up. Because, we got to acknowledge. And here they helping us win. And we wouldn't even had no idea there'd be a Saint in September even. And look how they're contributing now.
Makes for a great Thanksgiving week.
Yes, yeah. Sir. All right, Hector. Thank you, man.
Checking back in our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We'll take a break first, though. Charlie's looking at me like, what are you doing? We'll take a break and be back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network right after this. Back-to-back wins for the Black and Gold, a 35-14 winner over the Browns today. And Venture Global's donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global, innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after today, $25,110. Checking back in with our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Cajun Cannon. We're going to check in with Jimmy and Gretna, always a ray of sunshine. Jimmy, what you got for us after this one?
Hey man, great win, really enjoyed it. Taysom Hill, aka Derry Sanders, aka Vanilla Vic, All right, he's got a lot of nicknames: Vanilla Vic, Derry Sanders, the Mormon Ghost, the kind of guy that Bobby Hebert could let marry his wife. Right? I mean, not his wife. I'm sorry.
daughter. Taysom Hill's an upstanding
citizen. You know what,
citizen.
Bobby? I made a little faux pas, as you French people say. Okay.
Yeah. No, outstanding
citizen.
It's
been a long day.
Taysom Hill is a great individual on and off the field, which some players are and some players aren't. Well, Taysom is. Taysom would be too good to be true if your daughter brought him home. And let's say, oh, no, this is way back before he got married. I think he got about four or five kids right now. But if your daughter brought home Taysom Hill, you think you hit the lottery. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Here's something. All right, Bobby, listen, the fact that this is what blows my mind. The fact that this guy's 34 years old doing this, he is trucking 22-year-olds. I saw one play. The play was over. The guy, the cornerback, was on his back riding a pony. Like, he couldn't stop him. And Taysom just kept running.
Man, Taysom is
what's
strong.
Amazing to me. 34 years old, Bobby. 34 years old. It's amazing to me that, you know, and of course, he'll be a Saints Hall of Famer. We know that. It's sad that the NFL as a whole, he might not make the NFL Hall of Fame.
Well, they put Frank Gifford in there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can. He's not finished. I mean, when all said and done, and you know, Father Time will catch him at one time. But Taysom Hill is off the chart. He is so strong. You know, when he's in the weight room, and you know who didn't look strong? Did any of y'all watch the fight, Mike Tyson?
Oh,
he looked old. I mean,
that was definitely a waste of my time.
What, he's like 67 or something? Was that how old he is? I think
67.
No, 57.
57. Yeah.
Yeah, 67. I knew it was. Yeah, 57.
But he looked around 67 with those feet and wasn't be able to move.
Yes, and that like, you know how you see Taysom looks like he's 24 instead of 34.
Did you happen to see the two girls going at it in the match before the Tyson versus Paul fight?
No, because I watched that one fight, the two Mexicans that were fighting.
Yeah.
But they were beating up on each other. And I watched that, and then you know how they, coming up.
Yeah.
It takes 3 hours.
The girls that fought right before the Tyson and Paul fight was unbelievable. That was a knockdown, all out brawl. They just kept exchanging blows. One girl ended up gashed on her eyebrow after a headbutt and was just blood gushing everywhere. It was pretty intense.
So what you call that?
That was the best match of the night.
What you call that? The pre-card, there's a term for it. The card before the main event.
Right, undercard.
The undercard. So that was a good undercard. So
for sure, that was the highlight of the night, at least for me.
But, Taysom Hill, you know how when you're in the weight room and the player is always trying to get bigger, stronger, faster, everybody don't live the same. Like the offensive linemen and the defensive backs, they don't live the same. They have an individual workout. What's the best workout with the strength coach to better yourself? And because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And Taysom Hill is not even like a human. He's like off the chart in his power and his strength. Like almost like, okay, if you try and, okay, Taysom Hill with the tight ends, no, he's like stronger than everybody. Or Taysom Hill with the running backs. No, he's off the chart with all of them. And so, and that's why when Jimmy was talking about that defensive back, he was out of bounds. He was just like piggyback riding. I'm like, your little kid would jump on your back, and Taysom probably feels like, I could carry you 100 yards, and it wouldn't bother me.
You mentioned Taysom. I remember one year I'm on the sideline in Atlanta. I'm just trying to get out the way so I don't get taken out.
And he bumped you?
No. Like, I missed him, but I hear he's like getting up, and he's laughing about it all. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's nuts.
Yeah. No, he loves football. He loves football, and so that's, you know, you always worry about how much you're paying that player too much money. The other's been money
that's
well spent.
Why. Yeah.
No, he's given, to me, on his performance, what he brings to the table, I want to say might be 10, 11 million. I mean, that's like a hometown discount, considering his contribution. The only thing, if he stays healthy, that's the number one thing. No, he's going to be utilized. And I even said this in training camp. Don't save Taysom. I go, he's 34. We got to use him. We might be running him into the ground because we got to use him now because he's at that level, the best of the best.
Used and abused, scored 3 touchdowns today, 35-14. The Saints, a winner over the Browns. Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with your calls right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. A glorious Sunday. The Saints, a 35-14 winner over the Browns. Before we continue, let's pause 10 seconds. We're going to let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After, celebrating life responsibly. Cajun Cannon, we're going to ask what's bugging Bobby right now, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. When you have a big victory like this, there's still some issues or something that's bugging Bobby. And today, what is it, Cajun Cannon?
Well, I think it's a combination on the defensive side, even though that's outstanding, only holding them to 14 points. But we should have got way more pressure on Jameis Winston. He threw the ball 46 times.
Yeah.
And so even though we did come up with three sacks, you look at five quarterback hurries, there were still too many times that I thought we didn't get a consistent enough pass rush to make Jameis Winston have a little happy feet. Because Jameis Winston was outstanding. If you look at it, he was 30 of 46, 395 yards. Yards per attempt, 8.6, two touchdowns, no picks. Now, Derek Carr had a better QB rating of 129.6, and Jameis was 106.7. But I think we could have put more pressure, and the reason why I'm bringing that up, if we get more pressure on the quarterback, then I think Ugo Amari and Alante Taylor won't get picked on as much. Because I guarantee in the game plan, and Alante Taylor got burned by our next opponent. Remember last year he got benched against the Rams? Right. Well, you don't think the Rams are going to – now, depending who's healthy. Do you know Charlie Cooper Kupp, are they both healthy, him and
– Oh, yeah, they're both playing.
Okay, so that's going to be a challenge. They're going to go after, I think, Ugo Amari and Alante Taylor. And I think you always say the best pass coverage is a pass rush. So help them out. Help, because, you know, we are a different secondary, and we always perceive that the secondary was probably the strength of the team. And as far as the depth, like Alante Taylor was considered our third best cornerback. Well, right now he's number one because it was like Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, then Alante Taylor. Right now, Alante Taylor has to be number one. And Kool-Aid, has he played? Hamstring. I mean, Kool-Aid. He went an aggressive tackler. What was the Tampa Bay game? Well, I noticed a couple of times he wasn't nothing to write home about. But I think he would be the number two guy. But then we got Ugo in the slot,
right?
And then Jean Charles. He might end up playing more. So we're very young on that back end of the secondary. So again, for the next game in the future to help out that secondary, we're gonna have to get a better pass rush. And I have to look more at the coverage because when Jameis has the arm, when he hit those throws down the sideline, I think if we were in too deep, it looked like more zone concept than man. And then Alante Taylor got to reroute the receiver or jam him more where there's too much pressure on the safety to get over the top. And Honey Badger ended up, I think they had one tackle that he missed, but I think that's what's bugging me because that will come back to bite us, I think, at the end of the year if we don't get a more consistent pass rush and not necessarily just blitzing because then you're putting those guys on an island. But getting after the opposing quarterback where it could help our young secondary now considering who we're going with.
Maybe some things can start to sway the Saints' way, Cajun Cannon. Obviously, a bye this week and coming up. But the Rams will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football, so even a shorter week for them.
Yeah, a shorter week. You don't know who's going to be healthy.
Right.
Because right now, it's not like we're playing a game and you don't know who's going to be available. So, no, we got to take care of business. I want to say the last time the Rams came to the Dome with Matthew Stafford, we beat them. Charlie, look that up if you can. I think we beat the Rams. Now, we got embarrassed in L.A. last year by the Rams. You know, that was in the latter part of the season.
That was not pretty.
Yeah. That it just seems like, can we stop these crossing routes?
The best part of that, I remember, we got to do the pregame show. We were at Manning's with Archie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did that. And then, but I remember a number of times, like, they keep running the same plays, and we're not covering. And that's when Alante Taylor had lost a little confidence, but
Puka and Kyron Williams ate us up.
Yeah,
the running back and the receiver.
Yeah, so you build upon that, and I know their Coach Rizzi will have them ready because we need them. We need Ugo Amadi. We're counting on them. You're not just providing depth, you know, Ugo Amadi. We need him to be that nickel guy, and he missed some tackles too today. That you know, if you're there to make the tackle, make the tackle. You might give up some yards, but make the tackle. Don't give up that, those big chunk plays.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Saints, 35. Browns, 14. Black and gold now 4-7 on the season and starting a win streak after that seven-game skid, now won two in a row. We're going to be right back with more of the Ciroc Point After this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Want to look at our NFL scoreboard that's brought to you by Miller Lite. And the other two teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Carolina Panthers, off today in the NFL. They've got a bye week, but boy, oh boy, the Atlanta Falcons wish they had off. The Denver Broncos handed it to them, Cajun Cannon. Right now it's 28-6, 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Kirk Cousins today has just 162 yards passing and just threw an interception. No touchdowns today. Bijan Robinson, 10 carries. 29 yards, averaging 2.9 a carry. So go Broncos defense.
Yeah, look at the AFC West. And, you know, I think look at the Broncos defense and the Chargers defense.
Right.
In the AFC West, where they're ranked. So that's why, and then, you know, when I see this text, now this is from, you see, 8239. My eyeballs says Derek Carr can be a winning Could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. What says you, Cajun? And he goes on to say, Ray Carr's long ball, it is so pretty. No, Derek Carr can throw a bomb. You know, drop it in the well. Look at the one play that Juwan Johnson got the penalty on when he hit Foster Morrow. He dropped that in the well. Derek Carr can throw a long ball.
We saw some pretty ones last game against Atlanta, right?
Yes. Look how when he hit Rashid Shaheed to kick off the season against Carolina. You look Dallas, whatever. No, he could throw a long ball. Now it says Derek Carr can be a winning. Can Derek Carr be a Super Bowl winning quarterback? If he had a better supporting cast, I say yes. I say with this roster, I would say no. Like, you look like when Trent Dilfer with the Ravens won a Super Bowl, when Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. The team was awesome. And so I think Derek Carr, yes, depending on the supporting cast, Derek Carr could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But I just don't think the Saints are. Now, doesn't mean the Saints can't go to the playoffs. You know, if they would turn around and you build upon something – because, you know, you were hovering around to get to 10 wins, like 9 wins, whatever. Then all of a sudden you lose 7 games in a row. But I think they have the ability to be competitive and be a playoff team. It doesn't mean you're winning a Super Bowl. But I think Derek Carr could be a winning Super Bowl with a better supporting cast.
Yeah, and he's no Patrick Mahomes. Look, it's amazing what he's been able to do this year, obviously, without that supporting cast, at least on offense. The defense for KC is still legit.
Yes, and they won the Super Bowl last year. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, he's throwing an interception every game.
Right.
But as great as Patrick Mahomes is, they won the Super Bowl last year because their defense. And I know Andy Reid and all what they do. And nothing to take away from Patrick Mahomes. He's kind of passed the torch. You know, when you look, it was Tom Brady. Well, now it's Pat Mahomes. When you talk about a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but but as far as a pretty ball, Derek Carr is about as good as it gets throwing a bomb.
Going to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line right now. You can sound off 504-260-187. There we got Andre and Lafayette. Andre, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, Bobby and Steve, how y'all doing?
Feeling
all right.
Good.
All right, what you got, Andre?
I was calling. Taysom Hill had such a great day today. Kind of reminds me of back in the day, Guido Merkins is one of the Saints who's kind of all around like Taysom.
And he's like a poor man, Taysom Hill. Andre, you ever know the story of with Guido Merkins, how he came to the Saints?
No.
Bum Phillips found him. You know any guy professional softball leagues? He was playing softball at the highest level, like the best players that play softball in the nation. He went to Sam Houston State, but he found him on a softball field. Who's this guy? And Guido could throw. He could play quarterback. He could play receiver. He could punt. Now, I wonder if Taysom could punt. He probably could punt. And, you know, Guido Merkins beat a Hall of Famer. I'll never forget this. We were playing in the L.A. Coliseum. And Guido Merkins beat Mike Haynes, not the receiver from the Falcons from New Orleans. You know, Mike Haynes, the cornerback on a fade route. Dave Wilson dropped it in there, and Guido caught a touchdown against a Pro Football Hall of Fame cornerback with the Raiders. They were in Los Angeles Raiders. And, Andre, the other thing I remember about Guido, that's why I said, no, I know Guido. And he was a character. He's from, I want to say, San Antonio. His daddy was a preacher. You know, watch out for those preacher's sons, you know, whatever. But anyway, with Guido, we play in the Packers, Milwaukee County Stadium. Before I ever threw an NFL touchdown, I caught a touchdown pass. Guess who threw it to me? Guido Merkins. I never forget, offensive coordinator, King Hill. His name was King Hill. You know, and you can't throw, you know, I think Jerry Goff scored a touchdown with the Lions this year.
Right.
But you cannot be on the center. You got to be in the shotgun. You got to be in the shotgun, then you hand it off, and then you try and leak out and go out for a route. And Jerry Goff got a touchdown. Well, I remember when King Hill sent in the play, the throwback like to the quarterback, go, man, this ain't going to work. You know, we're in the Packers. We're running like, looks like a sweep with Guido Merkins. Like, we're going to run like a Taysom Hill, like a sweep with Guido Merkins. Then he stepped back and he threw it to me, obviously, and I ended up catching a touchdown against the Packers. Before I ever threw a touchdown, I might be the first NFL quarterback to ever do that, to catch a touchdown before he actually threw one.
Fun Cajun cannon fact.
And then that same game, I threw Eugene Goodloe about a 76-yard bomb. He's from Kansas. I want to say Kansas State.
So welcome to the NFL Cajun cannon.
Yeah, Guido Merkins. So that's why Andre brings up, like, Guido Merkins was no Taysom Hill. He wasn't that strong, but he could do a lot of things. You know, he could punt, and he was on special teams to cover and make tackles and all. But like I said, Guido Merkins would have been a poor man, Taysom Hill.
Stepping away here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We'll be right back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're going to get into the game by checking out that Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off to 504-260-1870. We got Billy in Slidell up next. What's up, Billy?
Hey, I was just making a comment. You and Bobby were talking about Taysom and comparing him to Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more comparison. The toughness of Frank Gifford and Taysom, I think, are equally important to make a note of. I mean, if you remember when Chuck Benarchek knocked out Frank Gifford in I think it was the championship game in 1960.
That's
he
right.
He suffered a significant concussion and came back. And he only played, I think, a year or so after that. But I think it's worth mentioning Taysom has been tough. He's come back from concussions. He's come back from injuries. And he's overall a phenomenal player. And
And he's fast enough. Billy, he's fast enough to run around you or run over you. People don't realize sometimes
speed and strength, right.
that combination of speed and strength, how and his cutting ability, his vision, is how fast Taysom Hill and how quick he is. People underestimate that.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we're going to go to Carlo and Hammond. Wanted to talk about a Taysom Hill comparison. What you got, Carlo?
What's up, guys? Tell me this, Bobby. Could Tim Tebow been another Taysom Hill if he wouldn't have got that quarterback out of his head?
Well, he wasn't humble enough. He needed to be humble. Do you want to help the team? Oh, no, I just want to play quarterback. Well, you're not going to play in the NFL. He was not a good enough passer. Taysom Hill would want to always play quarterback, but he knows deep down he's not a good enough passer to play only quarterback. Now he could be the Swiss Army knife and do a bunch of different things. If Tim Tebow would have humbled himself and say, okay, how about you be like an H-back? You know, like a fullback where you can lead and you might get the ball, or a tight end, and you go down on special teams, be the personal protector. See, Taysom Hill has humbled himself like that. Tim Tebow would not do that.
To do whatever.
And you might say, well, it just didn't work out with the Broncos. No, if I can recall, it didn't work out with the Jets or the Patriots. Now, then he go tried like three different teams.
He also went to the Eagles for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm a quarterback. I'm just a quarterback. Well, then you're going to be doing SEC Network. And he does an outstanding job.
Right.
So he found his niche. But no, Tim Tebow as a football player. Now, Tim Tebow is one of the greatest college football players ever. What he did at University of Florida, but he can't hold Taysom Hill's jock in the NFL. No, Tim Tebow cannot do. He don't have that ability. Taysom Hill is way faster than Tim Tebow. Stronger, everything. So nothing against Tim Tebow, one of the greatest college quarterbacks ever. I don't think, to me, he's not on a level with...
I was going to say, right under Cam?
Right under Cam Newton, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Cam Newton, when he did at Auburn that one year, was unbelievable. Win the national championship at JUCO, then he goes to Auburn, and win national championship when Cam leaves, they're nothing. The Auburn Tigers weren't anything. So, no, Tim Tebow, we will never know because he wasn't humble enough to play different positions.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, right.
At the NFL level. No, you can make a team, make a living, but you're going to be an H-back. Oh, no, I'm the quarterback. Well, then you're not going to play.
What we're going to do is take a break. We'll be back with more. Here's some audio from linebacker DeMario Davis when we return right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Black and Gold, a 35-14 winner over Cleveland, have won two in a row now and sitting 4-7 on the season. After the game at the podium, DeMario Davis, linebacker for the Saints, here's what he had to say.
Have you ever had an opportunity to try to tackle him at full speed? Or you guys have never gone against each other like
that? Taysom?
Yeah.
We've had some live drills. I don't know if we've ever had to go head on in the hole or nothing like that. I think maybe in those live drills he might have been at quarterback or something. So glad he's on my team.
Speaking of a hole opening. When we were able to tell
I believe that it was firstly on 4th-and-1 in goal line plays. It always begins with knockback. And so I think our defensive line took away the interior run by the way that they got off the ball with low pad level. I believe it was Will Harris. He was man-to-man on the tight end. And when the tight end blocked, he got the trigger. And that took the fullback or the guard off of me, which opened up a path where all I had to do was make the tackle. Still making a tough tackle on a really good running back. And so to be able to make that play, I think, set the tone in the game. So that was great.
Did you almost have a pick on that one in the...
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I almost had two picks. Almost is the key word. Following last week, almost had a pick. So... Amazon, I'm going to be looking tonight, or have my wife look tonight on Amazon, Prime Delivery. I got to get some hands. At this point, we shop so much on Amazon, so we might have some day delivery that we can get for free. But anywhere online, I know Amazon is going to have them. I need the best hands I can find. At this point, I am shopping for some hands. So Amazon, just know. We'll be looking tonight, Amazon delivery, in the box. Don't care how they come. If they gift wrapped or not, box them up nice for me. Just a pair of hands so I can have them for after the bye week.
They've been really clear about how the defensive scheme hasn't changed like in terms of an overhaul, but that Joe Woods has kind of put his stamp on some things and made some changes.
Yeah.
How have you seen those changes reflect?
Joe Woods is an unbelievable defensive coordinator. He does really good calling the plays, and I think keeping the quarterback in a scramble, an offensive coordinator in a scramble. And he does a good job of putting the game in his players' hands, and we're able to play free. He comes in with the game plan. He makes sure we feel good about it, and we're able to come into the game with a lot of confidence. And you know, when he's over there calling the plays, we just trust him and we go out and execute. And it allows us to play with our hair on fire. Guys have really been playing good football the past couple weeks, so it's good. And down the stretch, we got to do that.
And Marlon, you're good friends with Derek. He's sitting there, so I love his head on later, but what can you say about his how he can play?
Oh man, my boy had a field day out there today. He's a true point guard. If you really watch him, he get his Rajon Rondo on quite a bit, finding players. And I was telling him in the locker room, some of the my favorite plays is to watch him when he rolls out the pocket. He got about an 8-yard run today. That was special. He bowed up. He in the room, so I'm gonna give him some extra love. But I think when he the poise that he plays with when he rolls out of the pocket, when he's on, he's one of the best doing it. He dropped a couple dimes that were down the field. That fourth and one was special and got called back. But I think that's my favorite plays is when he rolls out of the pocket and to see how he can will and deal on the fly. I usually have guys at three levels, and I feel like he manipulates the defense in his favor. He did the same thing on kind of a little screen I was telling him about. It wasn't a major play, but it was pretty cool because he found a way to find a crease between two linemen. I mean, you got to think quarterbacks, they really have to have some I'm not going to have the word to say, a steal because you got Myles Garrett running at you full speed, and you have to be able to find a guy, keep your eyes down the field with somebody – who has plenty of highlights in the league of tearing people's heads off. And he's running at you full speed. And to be able to keep your eyes downfield and keep your poise, I just think, like, man, you got to give a lot of respect to those guys. And I like to see him when he is in mode like that. So glad he's on our side.
DeMar, how would you describe the sort of overall mood or the vibe of this locker room? I know it got low, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. How would you describe where you guys are right now?
We're winning. Winning feels good, so we want to keep that feeling going. Winning changes everything, and that's what this game is about.
Mark, you just talk about Pete, obviously dealing with the hand injury.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Club on it. What is that? You know, is that motivating for everyone else to watch him? You know, play through that.
That's some Walker Texas Ranger toughness right there. Man, he broke his hand last game. Had a major surgery. Think he has a steel plate in his hand, and he wraps it up with a club, and he tests it out in practice, and he's like, man, when I hit somebody, it still feels like I'm punching a brick wall. He's like, but I'm gonna tough it out. And he got my respect. He already had my respect, you know, just I already knew he was a tough player, but man, like your hands and feet, those are some very sensitive areas. I know people look at football and be like, man, you know, those are tough guys. But, man, if you step on your toe or you stub your toe, it still hurt. If you break a finger or something, it hurts. And for him to be out there toughing it out like that for the team and made some really big plays, it just speaks of his toughness and his commitment to the game.
Mario, a few weeks ago, I don't know when it was exactly, but the Tyrant said he felt like maybe the team lacked confidence in adverse situations. In these last 2 weeks, it looks like you guys are – kind of handling that in the flow. Do you feel like there's a change in the response maybe when things go wrong, like just maybe like the belief in how to overcome it?
I think it was just emphasis on finish. It started with Coach Rizzi. He just talked about like that we weren't finishing well, and that was something that we had to change. And then Joe Woods came in and emphasized it, and he talked about I think like 8 or 9 of our losses, we either were tied or had the lead in the fourth quarter. And he really challenged us on defense that we had to finish better. And I think that's what we've been putting on display the past couple weeks. It was an interesting stat that it was 21-0 in the fourth quarter today. That's the type of football that we have to play, and I think it makes the difference.
Did you specifically talk to the defense before? I think it was before last week's game. You talked like, we're winning, going into the fourth, it's our game.
Mm-hmm. What about it?
Have you seen the team respond to this?
Man, I just think our guys are responding to the challenge. Coaches just have emphasized some specific challenges for us the past couple weeks, and the guys have been responding. And we've always known that we had the guys in the locker room, and for whatever reason, they're putting the goals before us, and we're completing all of them. So I think the emphasis is in the right spot, and we're having success. Success breeds confidence. Confidence breeds success.
How was it playing against seeing Jameis again and playing against him in a game where he looked pretty invigorated about the opportunity?
That's my brother, man. I love him. I love that man to death. He is a very unique guy, and he's a memorable teammate. He gives everything that he has, and he has a spirit about him that's contagious. And I think watching him grow, specifically in his relationship with the Lord, his relationship with his family, and just being a leader all around, seeing him use his platform properly, I think it's been amazing to see. You know, in this game, you're going to have highs and lows, but it's all about how you choose to show up every day. And I think he is one guy that if you want to talk about how you show up every single day, he is as great as they come in that regard. The things that he's had to endure, the waves and the high highs that he's had and the low lows that he's had, but he continues to show up with that spirit, I think that's an example to the world. If I could show up with his spirit every day, I'd be a better human being. And I'm proud to call him my brother. I would praise and honor him on any stage.
Well, that was DeMario Davis after the Saints' 35-14 victory. But whoo-wee, Cajun Cannon in Denver. Bo Nix just threw another touchdown, this one to Lil Jordan Humphrey. The Denver Broncos have a 38-6 lead in the fourth quarter over the Atlanta Falcons. Sean Payton's going to go 4-0 against the NFC South this year.
Yeah, no, I think he's familiar with the NFC South. And then Lil Jordan Humphrey, I think he was one time in a Saints uniform. I don't know, you got the Detroit Lions, the Saints of the North. And then you got the Saints at the Rocky Mountains in Denver. I mean, a lot of influence. That just shows you we had a winning program post-Katrina. Won a lot of games, a lot of players. And the one who's still punting at a high, the only player still playing for the Super Bowl, Thomas Morstead.
God bless him, right?
But he's with the Jets. But he's still, hey.
Legatron.
All it got to be is one of 32. And so until somebody beats him out, I'm sure he'll keep punting.
We're going to keep on rolling here on the Ciroc Point After. Taking a break, though, right now. You can sound off 504-260-1870 before we get out of here at 6 o'clock, folks. Sound off with the Cajun Cannon. Give them your thoughts on this 35-14 victory for the Black and Gold. And two in a row. Could some magic happen down the stretch for this team? Who knows? We'll be back, though, after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Oh, winning is fun. Time for a welcome back here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We've heard from the head coach and Darren Rizzi. We've heard from linebacker DeMario Davis. We've even heard from Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army Knife. Now, time to hear from the quarterback, Derek Carr, what he had to say at the podium after the win.
The third and one keeper, obviously, got to start with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought after that run, I was definitely going to beat Taysom in the rushing title again today, and I did not, obviously. That was my last one. So, it was actually a play we've had before, but, you know, this game presented good looks, and the coaches, they liked it, and that was going to be our first short yardage call. And I've been trying to tell them, I was like, I don't mind doing it, you know. And so finally they let me do it, and we got a first down. And so that was huge for us, for sure. Well, they put the over under at 6 yards, and so I didn't know where I was. I just knew I needed more. And so, yeah.
Rizzi mentioned that you guys went into this with a plan for Myles Garrett, and you felt really happy with how that played. From your perspective,
I think it went really well. You know, we made sure we had a plan for him because he is one of the most dominant players I've ever played in my 11 years in the NFL. He is insane how good he is. And so some of the plays he can make, the strength with the speed, with the effort. There's a play you watch him against Washington. He runs down a run play like 50, 60 yards down the field. And he's outrunning DBs. You know, he's unbelievable. And so thankfully he didn't decapitate me on the one I was throwing to Foster because he found a way in. But I thought our offensive line did an outstanding job, tight ends, running backs, whoever, you know, receivers. We had just different kind of looks, different kind of things that you don't always use in every game, but with a guy like that you have to use. And I put him up there with the guys I've played, like Von Miller, Aaron Donald, they're, you know, TJ Watt. I mean, these guys, they're just that dominant, you know. And so, again, like I always do, I'll stop naming people so someone down the road doesn't get mad, you know. But, you know, they just have a way to, you know, impact games. I mean, you watch the film and you see him getting chipped, you know, about to get chipped, and he's hitting the chipper, you know, 3 yards in the air. You know, they're both feet are off the ground, and then he's running through the tackle. Like, you know, not everybody can do that kind of stuff.
I mean, how do you feel about, I mean, Taliese drawing that matchup a lot as a rookie and everything? Just how do you feel about his performance?
Yeah, I mean, what a great challenge for him, right? Because we did leave him out there a couple times. You know, you can't always chip and do certain things 100% of the time. You know, there's certain concepts and routes you just live with, and you got to do it. And I thought he did a fantastic job. And he's, what an experience for him to go against one of the more dominant players our league has ever seen, you know, and to just grow in confidence, you know, and continue to get better. And, you know, he'll see things he'd want better or want, you know, all those things. But, you know, for him to, you know, get a taste of, playing against Miles, what that's like, and for him to handle himself really well. You know, the thing I look for is the body language, you know, the eyes, you know, before we go out there in the huddle, you know, on a third down, I'm looking at, you know, and he, very confident young man. And so his confidence gives me confidence, you know, because I've been in huddles with guys where they're like, I don't know about this play, you know, and it's not a good feeling as a quarterback. So his confidence is definitely years beyond how old he actually is.
What do you think about the Rondo comparison that Lamar, you mean, where are you right now?
I love Rondo, really love Rondo, but I'm a Laker fan, so that one's tough for me. You know, for me, I think any kind of praise from a player like that is very honoring, and I'm humbled by it because, you know, for him to say that, he doesn't just, you know, say words. You know, you guys know DeMario, what he says is what he means, and so I'm honored that he would, you know, compare me to someone like that. But, you know, we talk about it all the time. I just, you know, whenever, you know, you're in a certain system and you got players around you, it allows you to manipulate coverages. It allows you to look this way, pump, and then come back because, you know, I got to move this guy one step. You know, there was one today I knew I was going to throw a certain ball. I got to move that guy one step. And if I don't have time to do that, I just can't play the position how I want to play it. But I'm allowed to do that because of how, you know, well our offensive line is playing, you know, how well our guys are on their details about, it's just little things like the landmarks of the routes. Like, you have to catch this ball outside the hash right here. You know, you got to be ready right here when I hit this third step. You know, all that stuff matters. And just really impressed by everyone else around me because it gives me such joy every time going out there because I know I can play free. You know, I know that I can just be free to be me, manipulate guys. You know, I know Clinton Janoke won't like it, but sometimes take an extra hitch to, you know, move somebody to throw a certain ball and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you don't have time to do those things and guys aren't in the details, it won't matter and it won't work. So I've just been thankful for the guys around me. They're playing so well and it allows me just to be free. I gotta be honest, like the last, I don't know how to say it, like the end of last year and the beginning of this year is absolutely, I feel great. I feel like it's been my best football, you know, that I've played in my career. And so I feel confident in that. I feel confident in who I'm playing with. I feel confident in the building that I'm in. And they continue to just breathe confidence into me. And that goes a long way for players. And so, yeah, I feel like in my 11 years, the last, I don't know how many games, but it's been my best.
I know we talked about Taysom before many times, but I mean, how rare is it to do what he did today for a player like that?
It's unbelievable. What he does, what we ask him to do, he's fullback lead blocking on inside zones, you know, ISOs, and then he's playing fullback on a stretch run, then he's playing tight end, then he's at receiver, then he's playing quarterback, then he's throwing a ball 50 yards down the field, then he's running with it, you know, from quarterback. It's like, then I'm turning around and I'm in a no-huddle situation checking plays to hand him the ball at running back. It's like, good luck finding someone that can do all those things, you know. And I knew what kind of weapon he was, you know, when I made a decision to come here. And I was just so excited to play with him. And it makes it even cooler now playing with him, just because he's such a great friend and he's such a great person. So now it's just like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this guy, you know, like this guy is awesome. And so except sometimes I can beat him at golf, so that's one thing. But I can't outdrive him, though. Yeah.
He might be almost underappreciated to some degree, that just the versatility. I think
there's a case to be made for that, for sure, because he is dominant in everything that he does, you know. And, like, it's like a point guard switching off onto a center, and he can guard him in the low block. It's like, you know, center switching on a point guard, and he's not worried about getting hit on a three or getting run by. Like, it's really unbelievable the different spots he can go and play at that level. And so, absolutely, I think he gets a lot of credit. I think he deserves a lot more for what he's able to do, because what people don't understand is, too, mentally, when he's going through, you know, a 200-play call sheet, he has to go through that in three different positions in his head, you know, really four, you know, emergency quarterback stuff, too. You never know. Like, he has to go through that and know everything, and he never misses an assignment. You know, he's always on top of his stuff, and he plays at a high level. And so the amount of mental task that he has to put into a week based on what people ask him to do, coaches ask him to do, it's ridiculous.
That was Saints quarterback Derek Carr after the team won 35-14 over the Cleveland Browns. We're going to take a break. When we get back, our Ciroc to the Toast player of the game. Guess who that is? We'll hear when we get back after the break.
I wonder who that is. Yeah.
Right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Second and seven, Taysom again. This time, left side, but he gets to the outside. 25-30, Taysom on his feet. 40, Taysom's going to go down the sideline. 40, 30, Taysom 20, 10. What a day. See you later, bye. Taysom Hill, guess what? He didn't step out of bounds. Nothing. 75 yards.
This may be the greatest game of any player.
Well, that sets it up perfectly. Time for the Ciroc Toast to the Saints. But first, we're going to pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon pouring a big old glass of Ciroc out for Taysom Hill, who had an amazing day for this black and gold bunch, even though it started out shaky, obviously, but it's not how you start, it's how they finish. But those two turnovers did not let him dictate the rest of the game.
No, anybody else would have two turnovers. They never would get this player of the game.
Right.
No, it just shows you how outstanding. And, you know, you say, oh, Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my. Well, I say, like, running and throwing and catching. Oh, my. He can do it all. Taysom Hill can do it all, 248 all-purpose yards. I mean, I don't know if you watched that that kickoff return, and that was impressive. When he got 42 yards, he's hitting it and getting it. And, you know, a number of fans, because I remember talking about this at the beginning of training camp, maybe even at minicamp, I think it was early August, was that Taysom Hill, why are we saving him? We need to use Taysom that, okay, you know how, because you're like, Cam Jordan, I think he might be on his last leg. At times they all DeMar Davis. Oh, Honey Badger, I don't know. He's missing a few tags on his last leg. You know, they're getting older. Well, we don't need to save Taysom Hill. We got to use him. And I said this beginning of training camp. You know, you would think that not 10 to 12 touches, more like 18 to 20 touches to help the Saints win. He could be that much of a difference maker. Well, they might have hit the magic formula. You know what? Today he had 18 touches. So I don't know, when we play the Rams, have 18 touches, 18 to 20. Not 10,
the Mormon missile.
Not 10 to 12, more 18 to 20.
Well, that's a wrap on the Ciroc Point After. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. We've got a Saints victory back-to-back weeks now, and they are 35-14 over the Cleveland Browns. They'll have a bye now, get a little rest and relaxation before they come back to take on the L.A. Rams. The Cajun Cannon and Mike Dettillier will be back at it tomorrow on Second Guess at the Silver Slipper Casino. Make sure you check them out there and following the Saints Coaches Show with Darren Rizzi, an assistant coach. So, Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the black and gold faithful, and hopefully a little hope for Thanksgiving this week.
That's right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go, Saints.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.